Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Yeah, you're always fine. I'm okay. I'm a bit cross. I'm stuck in this goddamn house. I just started watching Mrs. America. Mrs. America starring Kate Blanchett, and it's made me all cross, James. It's all about the women's liberation movement, and I'm all cross.
You're cross because you don't like the women's liberation movement.
No, it's an excellent show. And I want to talk about it on another show, by the way.
Another podcast, other than this podcast, Suggestible.
I haven't finished watching it.
Oh.
This podcast is called Suggestible. We're married and we review things and tell you about them.
That's right. That's exactly what we do. And if you're looking for something else, well, I'm sorry, we can't help you.
I'm sorry, we can't help you there at all. Anyway, I would highly recommend Mrs. America, except it's just made me very cross yet again about the history of women in society. Anyway.
I recommend crisp drinks.
That old chestnut. Yeah, you drink kombucha like it's going out of fashion, mate. I tell you what, it's not though.
No, it's very much in fashion. That's why I drink it.
I think it tastes like feet.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're the one with the foot fetish, I don't know about you.
Hey, you're the one that painted my toes on a recent podcast.
It was blackmail.
Yeah, no, that's part of my charm. Anyway, subtle blackmail of toe painting.
Yeah, real subtle. Do you want to kick things off or do you want me to?
You can kick things off. Sure. Kick away.
Are you familiar with the no sleep section of Reddit?
I'm familiar with no sleep and I'm familiar with Reddit.
So, oh my God, Claire.
But no, not of the no sleep.
So it's basically this, it's a subreddit.
The Reddit combo.
That's right. It's a subreddit where people write spooky stories. Oh, so their user submitted, right? Okay. And there's one that came out recently. It was out in the last year or so. It's called My Wife and I Bought a Ranch by Matt Query.
Oh, and already reason, spooky. Ranch why is that? Spooky.
What?
You're out in the middle of nowhere.
What if it was called We Bought a Zoo? Like the name itself isn't spooky.
No, but zoos are less spooky because zoos are, you know, in metropolitan areas, whereas ranches are out in the great outdoors.
Well, that's yes,
lonely.
You're correct.
And they have things like axes.
They do have things like axes.
That murderers can wield.
That's true, but there was no axe-wielding murderers in this.
All right, get on with your story.
Well, I would, but you're
get
talking about
it.
Other
Why
things.
Is
so
it talking?
We're in a riff, apparently, so I'm just trying to keep it moving. But so the reason I started to read this one, because I've been in and out of that forum, and some are better than others, and it's some of the good stories are really good. Like, they're as good as anything you would read in a book, say. But Netflix bought this particular story for a low seven-figure deal in a bidding war, which was really interesting. Oh. So I thought, okay, I'm going to read this, see what it's like. And basically, yeah, like you said, it's about a couple who buy a house in the wilderness of the US of A, right? So they move out there. They get this really – they have this low-ball offer, and they're like, yep, take it. So they take – and it's a beautiful property and it's a beautiful house. But then you find out from their neighbors that there's specific conditions that come with living at this place, and you have to follow – these series of instructions that happen every season of the way, a different way that the spirit manifests itself. And if you don't follow the instructions, then terrible things start to happen to you. So one of them, for example, is like a light appears, and this is told very early our baby's sitting here, by the way, just so everyone
That's
knows.
The little snuffly sound. Yeah. We don't have a guinea pig in the background.
No. So I think one of the first season the experiences, all they experience together is there's a light in the pond out the back, and if they see the light, you quickly have to light a fire in your house, and then it goes away. And if you don't, then something terrible can happen. Right, that's one. In the and the next season is a naked man gets chased by a bear, and you have to just let the bear attack the man. And if you intervene, the man could do something terrible to you or whatever. It sounds strange, but it's better explained in the in the story that I am.
Is this,
but
is he this
starts
a revenant?
To this guy, the husband, who's an army vet. He starts to taunt the spirit, and then there starts to be repercussions for that, because it's the natural, it's supposed to be the natural progression of things. It's a part of nature, and it's a part of the environment, and it's a part of balance. And by him coming in and kind of being aggressive and being like, this is my land and whatever, then things start to take a turn.
Oh, see, that's all the stuff I believe, James.
That's right.
It is.
This isn't a real story, just so you know. But
and also, don't go harassing the spirit. Everybody knows that. Everyone's done seances in year six when they had sleepovers.
Yes, yes, yes. It's all very spooky.
Have you
and
ever
real.
Done a seance?
Yeah, once.
Really? Did anyone speak to you?
No, there was like a, yeah, somebody said it didn't.
Where did you do a seance?
I had a party once when I was like 15 or whatever.
I'm just really giggling at the thought of you with your long hair, your long black fringe hair hanging over, and all your moodiness. You were basically like that character from, I can't remember anything anymore. And she's got glasses and it's a cartoon.
I think you're thinking of you.
No,
I am thinking of Daria.
Daria and Trent.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah, you're basically Trent and then you're there doing a seance.
Yeah.
That makes me laugh so much.
Well, that's, so there was a spirit or something, but it wasn't like, they've done tests and studies on them, and even if somebody's not manipulating it intentionally, everybody kind of, their subtle movements, like of everybody.
Or there's a ghost.
No, there's no ghosts. It's not a
I
real
think
thing.
There might be a ghost.
No, it's not real. But anyway, so I really enjoyed it. And it's also, it's about PTSD as well, because he's a former vet and how he's kind of recovering from that. And the way that he approaches this is different than, say, somebody who would live on the land. Does that make sense?
And so be at one with everything.
Yeah, he sees it as something that that you combat, whereas that's not the way it needs to be approached. It's something that you can't push back against. You kind of have to roll with it and adapt, if that makes sense. And
like
the last season culminates. Yeah, I won't spoil it, but that ties into a lot to the things that he has done during war, and that's like literally coming back and manifesting in a way that confronts him and his wife. I really enjoyed it. I think it could make a really interesting series or movie, whatever they're making out of it. Check it out if you can or won't.
That
or
sounds
will.
Fascinating.
Yeah, you might like it.
I really, what you said before, and I kind of talked over you. I'm sorry. I was talking over you a bit.
How dare you?
I know. How dare I? But that idea of having to adapt and roll with something and accept it is something that is really deeply ingrained in a lot of sort of Taoism. So that's to do with like
the Dow Jones.
The Dow Jones. No, you know, ancient religious kind of beliefs and yoga and all of those kinds of things, Buddhism.
Sure.
The idea that we have to accept and continue on with things rather than fighting against stuff.
Yeah, right.
And I've often – that's how I'm trying to approach the ISO situation that we're living through at the moment.
Yeah, because you can't – what do?
No, you have to accept.
You push back and you could just be in strife.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And anyway, and that's a lot of the basis of meditation as well, is accepting your thoughts and letting them run through you rather than trying to battle with them.
Yes.
And that's interesting. I just think that's a really interesting concept for a spooky movie, but also just in life in general, and self-acceptance as well and moving forward in that way. Anyway, I've rambled on.
That's
long
fine.
Enough.
Yeah, no, you have in my segment of the show. Have yes. No, I didn't have anything else to say anyway.
Have you ever read The Tao?
The Tao Jones. Yeah, I keep track.
You're so annoying.
And honestly, I don't even know what the Dow Jones is. Whenever like the Dow Jones is up, I'm like, yeah. That's good, I think.
Yeah, I know.
I was never meant to be in finance as I initially thought.
Yeah, why call it the Dow Jones?
Fuck to find it. I'll Google it now.
All right, okay. So,
oh my God, the Dow Jones is down 205.
I mean, that's, we shouldn't be laughing because it's probably down a lot. Anyway, what I wanted to talk about was, I didn't want to talk about this, but I've Googled it now because I'm reminding myself.
Oh my God, the Dow Jones is down, everybody. I'm just going to look up the definition.
All right. Anyway, while he's talking about the Dow Jones, I'm going to talk about ancient Chinese Taoism, which is what I was trying to get at before.
Oh.
Taoism or Taoism is a Chinese philosophy attributed to Lao Tzu and is therefore both a philosophy and a religion. It emphasizes doing what is natural and going with the flow in accordance with the Tao or Tao, which is a cosmic force which flows through all things and binds and releases them.
The force,
so really,
got it.
Yeah, it's like the force from Star Wars or the energy of the universe or however you want to call it. Eckhart Tolle, who I also love, who wrote a book called The Power of Now, which is really helpful, particularly if you are in a position in your life at the moment that you are struggling to accept, i.e. all of us at the moment on the planet. Anyway, I found The Power of Now to be really helpful in particular situations, but it's based on that similar philosophy. It's all about the flow. Even creative people often call it the flow, you know, that idea of energy kind of moving through you for creative purposes.
I don't believe any of that. I believe that you need to create the situation for you to start working on something. You just got to get it done with a deadline. If you wait to be like, oh, I should do this, but I need to wait for inspiration, you're never going to do it. Just fucking do it.
Yeah, I know, but that's also connected into part of it. Elizabeth Gilbert talks about...
Just drink a coffee and go.
Yeah, that you've got to get down and go, but that in order... I mean, different people access flow in different ways. Like, surely you've experienced moments while you're writing or creating where things flow really easily once you're into it.
Yeah.
You know, and it starts to... And ideas come to you from seemingly almost nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's that idea. So it's not just that you have to wait until a lightning bolt hits you and you're like, it's the Dow. The Dow Jones is here.
Nah.
Maybe that's what they mean by the Dow Jones.
I was just joking, by the way, everybody. I know what the Dow Jones is.
I don't. What
yeah,
is
yeah,
it?
Yeah. It's an industrial average. It's a widely watched benchmark that indicates U.S. blue chip stocks. That's how I perceive it anyway.
Dow Jones?
Though? Yeah. Well, I'd love to get into it. I really would. But I've got a... Yeah, we've got a lot on, obviously.
Anyway,
a big show.
I would also recommend reading the Tao. It's actually really beautiful language, and I read it sometimes when I'm feeling particularly at a crossroads.
What I do, I go out in the sun. That's what I do. I enjoy nature. That's what I do.
Oh, here he goes. Anyway, all I'm saying is that it's the idea of the energy transfer through the universe, and there you go, and I love
it. See, we have different philosophies on death, right, because I'm not an atheist. And I'm not overly religious.
Agnostic? Would you
sure.
Say?
No, well, I don't know if that's what agnostic is. I can't remember. But I don't know, and I don't think anybody really knows. I'm not saying that doesn't mean you can't have belief. I think belief is really important in whatever that is, especially if you're using it for good to help people. But you're like, when you die, you could look at it like a transfer of energy. So you're, you know, because that energy does have to go somewhere. That is part of physics. I presume.
We're so smart.
I don't know what physics is either. but to me, that's not reassuring, because the energy in my body goes somewhere. Who gives a shit? Like, the most important thing to me is like my consciousness and being and my self-awareness. You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
my ability to.
Yeah, of your sense of self.
Yeah, my consciousness. Yeah, exactly. So if I'm like, but the energy in your body goes out in the universe, I don't give a shit. What does it matter? It doesn't mean anything. It's just like. Just like a collection of energy just scattering everywhere.
Well,
the most important thing to me is like the memories of people I have and things, and you know, and the Dow Jones. These are the things that I hold dear to my heart. So when energy goes somewhere, I'm like, I don't care. Doesn't matter.
So does that mean you're terrified of death?
No, I'm not. No, not necessarily. I mean, I don't want to die.
Sometimes I beg to differ.
Yeah,
sometimes
maybe.
You wake up in the morning like this. No,
I'm more terrified that if I die, what I would leave behind, like
a series of miseries.
No, I mean, like, because I want to be there for like you and our kids when they grow up. Because I mean, not to say that people lose parents and they get by and they do well, but I don't want to put someone through that. That's for me. Yeah.
So that's why you're exercising like a man.
Yes, that's why I don't smoke 40 cigarettes a day, which is all I want to do.
You're a nice person.
Yeah.
Just letting you know.
It's more a burden of obligation than anything else. What do you think happens when we die while we're here?
Well, I think Judd Apatow says something really great, or Apatow, I never know which way to say his name, that you just need to fall in love with the mystery.
Okay.
And to me, I don't think we'll ever know. How could
no,
we
you
know?
Can't.
We can't know, because it's so far out of our understanding. We don't really understand what our planet is or why we're here. But I think if you can fall in love with the mystery, there's magic in that. And I think if you can really, you can get a sense of, this is going to sound woo-woo, I guess, the yin and yang of things, you know, the good and bad, the tug and pull, the, you know, ebb and flow that happens in nature, happens within us and happens every day. And I mean, it's happening now with this virus that's happening all over our planet. And to me, there's kind of a beauty and a mystery in that. Not that there's a beauty in the virus at all, but that nature is like that. You see death, you see new life all happening all at once all of the time.
Yes.
And I think if we fight against that, that's fighting against our very nature and our very being.
But
and
what is that for like modern medicine and things like that? So you get an illness and you take antibiotics or whatever, things like that. Where's the line? So if there was like a drug that meant you could live an extra 40 years, right, for example, would you take that, or is that messing with nature?
Yeah, it's a really good question.
Because they're on the verge, it seems, constantly, and I don't know whether it'll actually happen, that they will be able to regenerate human cells because it's like a photocopy of photocopy, and that's what aging is, and that's why you start to look and feel worse.
I think the wonders of modern medicine are incredible, and what they've been able to achieve for us in terms of living our lives in longer and healthier and keeping people with us for longer than they would otherwise, I think that's miraculous. So I'm not saying throw out modern medicine, science, blah. I think it's fascinating. We're constantly finding out more and more about the world and about all of that. I think it would have to come down to your own personal choices as to what you wanted to take or not take and the kind of quality of life that you would have.
Yeah, and it definitely comes down to quality, because what's the point of living another 40, 50 years if you're just constantly getting older? You're just more decrepit. Like, that would be miserable.
Yeah, exactly. And I do genuinely think a lot of things come down to that idea of everything has an opposite and equal reaction. So I think I think everything has consequences, and our choices have consequences. So,
and I think people, and this is going to sound terrible, I think people need to go eventually. And I don't mean that like there should be some kind of mass extermination. I mean as in you reach a certain age, if you're lucky, and you pass on. And I think that's good for society and moving forward. I think because if you get entrenched in, if people start living for hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years, does that slow the evolution of society? Because I think we are becoming a more compassionate society and more accepting. I think that because I know people complain. People are often very upset when I say that. I think the next generation coming up is going to be really good. And hopefully the one after that will also be, because I think they are more compassionate, more understanding. And I know people are like, well, people are just getting soft and blah, blah, blah. But I don't see that as a weakness. I see that as a good thing, that people are being more accepting of others. It's like if you ask a kid about gay marriage, they're like, who gives a shit? Like, of course there should be gay marriage. Like, it's not even a question. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's like that. And of course, I'm not saying there aren't bad things with every generation, because of course there are. But I think that there is something to be said for that. And maybe there is a selfishness to hanging around for longer than you should and influencing things.
I actually see it in a different way. I've never wanted to live forever. And one of the big reasons is I think there is so much joy to be had in knowing that things aren't permanent, which sounds kind of counterintuitive, but I think when you go through big traumas or difficult times in your life, you are so grateful when things are okay. You're really grateful for the little things that you enjoy. And I think, for instance, like food tastes better. You can kind of – there are
totally,
more,
yeah.
You know, you're suddenly thinking, I'm just sitting here, you know, on an ordinary day, the sun's shining and I'm with the people I love, and wow, isn't this incredible? And I think if you just live forever, then you don't get to really lean in and appreciate how wonderful life is in its moments. You know, I think nature acts the way that it does for a reason. And not that we can't explore that and continue to grow and learn new things about it, but I do think we also have to reflect that there are some really extraordinary things about our lives and the way that they move through different stages as we grow older. Oh gosh, it's so complex though, because, you know, if people are in huge amounts of pain too, we don't want them to have to suffer.
Well, that's
all of that sort of stuff is very, this is a very deep conversation.
How did this happen?
My point is I don't
want to die, not yet, but maybe one day, but I want to stay as healthy as I can and prolong things for as long as I can.
Yes. Yeah. And look, I think at the base of everything, regardless of what religion you believe in or no religion or what you think about death, I think that whole idea of being kind, you know,
totally
gets us all a long way.
Yep, definitely.
And what does Patton Oswalt say in his comedy special? It's chaos, be kind.
Yeah.
And I think that's the one thing you can rely on in life, that everything is constantly changing and upending itself, and you never know what's going to happen. So it's chaos, be kind gets you through.
That's right. Maybe.
A lot of things.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Anyway, read the Dow.
Anyway, read the Dow Jones.
All right, can I get on with my recommendation?
Well, when that was you talking, but sure, if you could.
All right. Okay, so I've been reading, you know how I love a detective story.
Oh, my goodness, do you ever.
I love a bloody detective story. So this time I've been reading a series that I found called by Dervla McTurnan, who is an Irish crime writer. She started with The Rune, followed by The Scholar and The Good Turn. And they're all just rollicking good reads. Cormac Riley, so Detective Cormac Riley, is your typical cop who's, you know, battled away in, you know, Dublin in the big city, and then he's come to a smaller, you know, country town of Galway in Ireland, and he discovers the body of Hilaria Blake in her crumbling Georgian home. And so she leaves two children behind as well after she dies. And then 20 years later he is drawn back into the case to I won't give too much away, but her son also becomes involved in a murder and a crime. So it's just really interesting. It's the same kind of thing as these always are, but I kind of quite love a comforting, good detective novel. So if you really liked my recommendation.
Is he like this is the one case I never was.
Exactly. And then, but there's like some other great characters in there too. The other cops in the unit are kind of great. He's got a boss. He's always on his back, you know, although they're always like, there's budget cuts and all those sorts of things. I actually think the second book, The Scholar, is my favorite. And it revolves around like a billionaire's granddaughter and her inheritance, and a girl is found murdered in the car park of a university and all this kind of stuff. But
what's it, who's it by? Blanca McDurgan.
Dervla McTurnan. Blanca McBlanken. No, Dervla McTiernan. Anyway, it's just really, it's a rolling good read. It's unputdownable. And if you enjoyed my recommendation of Jane Harper and The Dry, I would recommend these three books.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. So they won't change your life. There's nothing deep and meaningful. They're certainly not talking about the meaning of life and death. And
sure. The then unlike how we've changed your life in this very episode.
However, they'll get you through ISO with a few lovely choice words. The other thing I'm going to talk about too.
What the hell's going on? I thought this was a back and forth, man.
Just very quickly, Taylor Swift has released a new album, Folklore.
Friend, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really good. I really enjoyed it. I mean, it's very folksy and sad. It's very, you know, I wouldn't even say sad. I would say melancholy. It sounds like a breakup album, even though she is technically not breaking up with her boyfriend. I'm assuming. However, it's just, it's lovely. And she's collaborated with some really interesting artists, including a guy from The National.
Like a YouTube collaboration?
No. Maybe. No, I don't know. But they played the piano on it. And also Bon Iver sings
Bon
on one
Iver?
Of the tracks.
His name's Bon Iver? I thought it was Bon Iver.
Oh, Bon Iver. I thought it was Bon Iver. Anyway, Bon Iver, Bon Iver. Who knows? But I really enjoyed his music, and he sings on the album, and it's really excellent. So I've really enjoyed that. Okay, over to you.
I'm very happy for Bon Iver.
Right.
What have I got here? I've got a YouTube recommendation. I actually talked about this briefly with Mason, but there's this YouTuber called Jenny Nicholson, who I met when I went to the US a few years ago. I did a show with her on Screen Junkie. She's very nice and very funny. But she made this video recently on the My Little Pony fandom, which I don't know if you're familiar with, which you probably are, that it blew out into this huge like brony culture situation. It was kind of this niche thing that, you know, was popular in the 80s, and then it never kind of really left, but then it blew up in like the 2010s, right? So it was interesting. This video is like an hour long, but she talks about her role in the fandom. In particular, when she started, she was making these fan-edited and revoiced versions of the cartoons, including with music and things like that, which they took off in brony culture, right? In My Little Pony culture, which I never realized. And she was so famous in this subculture that there was a girl who was at these My Little Pony conventions who would pretend to be her and like get all these like
what?
Accolades and like people were like, but she was it wasn't really her. Like that was the kind of level that she was at.
Yeah, wow.
But anyway, what happened with My Little Pony, and this is from her perspective, that it started to be overtaken largely in part by guys, which was initially kind of seen like as a good thing. It's like, oh, they're liking this little girl show, and that it's a really positive thing that they've become involved. But then with that, there was a whole lot of gatekeeping that went with that. It's like, oh, you're not a real fan or whatever, and what do you even know about My Little Pony? And I'm the biggest My Little Pony. You can't even name, you know, all the different, which is like the worst part of any fandom, you know what I mean?
Totally.
Me and Mason always said, like, if you're a fan of something, you can like it whatever level you want to like it at. It doesn't make your opinions or liking of that invalid. There's also another actor who was in the original, not in the, sorry, in the Star Trek Next Generation, who voiced a minor character in it and then realized that there was money to be made. So he started inserting himself more in the culture and going to fan events and making documentaries and things like that, despite him hating the fandom, right? Because he saw there was an opportunity for monetary value. And then there's a whole other side of it where it became really sexualized as well for a lot of it, with like body pillows and provocative imageries. And then the furries also became a part of it, but that might have also been a good thing because they're accepting of everybody. There's no real gatekeeping with them. They're accepting of all personalities and sexualities and whatever. Yeah. So anyway, it ultimately died with the last BronyCon in 2019, which was the biggest one ever, because it was, which they kind of said that this is the end point for this, because it reached its peak by then. And obviously with the pandemic, it's gone away. But it's just this fascinating journey for me of this culture that I'd never really, like, you know, a little bit about it, you know, and I'm like, oh, yeah, good on people for whatever. But it's so interesting that someone's passion is like this whole other thing and world that you just have no idea about.
I know,
which can be for anything. I know.
Imagine if you lived with someone that had a whole world that you totally didn't understand.
Like, I'm
referencing James, yes, by the way, because I don't understand comic books.
But it's the same for everything. Like, and I've said this before as well, like, everyone's a nerd about something, whether it be gardening or sports or whatever. It's the way yeah, everybody's super into.
I could talk
to
you for hours about gardening.
Yeah, I can't wait. Oh my God, I love it. But I think, anyway, I found it really interesting just the way that this kind of thing took off in a way that you wouldn't really think it would.
No, because I loved My Little Pony.
It was popular in the 80s, yeah, right, or 90s, whatever, however old you are.
Yeah, and they had like the little ponies and they'd all have different personalities and you'd brush their hair and talk to each other and they were kind of had glittery, starry eyes. And
it's interesting because the show then, which started off as like this fun kind of thing for little girls essentially, suddenly became more referential to like fans, and they put in memes and things that people, you know, were responding to. So it was like this back and forth between the community, which may have also hurt the show because suddenly it's becoming this in-jokey kind of like,
I know, because I don't really think that I don't think my friends who have little girls or boys are really into My Little Pony. I haven't really seen it around.
No, it's not really the thing at the moment, is it?
No, no. So
it's always there though. But that's the thing. There's so many the things that kids are into now, there's so many different things. There's no one thing. I feel like
there are.
I mean, of course there are. I mean, but for us there are. Like, our son at the moment loves like Transformers. That's the thing that
is,
he loves.
That is so many kids.
Yes,
his
it
age.
Is. But it's not everybody. Do you know what I mean? Like, there are different. We see it because we see his friends who like it and him. But it's more than that. There are so many other fandoms just for kids alone, which there never used to be.
Yeah, this
when we
is
were
true.
Kids, like there were examples of that, but it was less so. But if you go even further back, there wasn't. There's so much now. There's so much content.
Yeah, yeah. That's
like, he
true.
Loves the TV show Voltron, but not everybody
knows Voltron.
And like, because you don't see the toys even for it. Do you know what I mean?
So yeah, that's true.
Everything is like a thing. Everything is the most important thing to a kid or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And it is interesting watching kids try and talk to each other. They have to try and find something that they both have in common, like some show that they watch that or books that they read that are both the same, so then they can access their play.
Yeah.
Because they – or if they can't find anything in common, then they start inventing something between themselves, like an adventure game or a Pirates
game
or
something. And they'll be a character. They'll be different characters from different things or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Super. It's so interesting.
Anyway, you should watch that video. I think you'd find it really interesting.
All right. Yeah. I totally will watch that. Cool. Okay.
Also, neo-Nazis and that. What's get involved in it? It's a whole thing.
Oh, God. Yeah. Does everything need to be
It's ultimately,
ruined?
I think it, on the whole, it ends kind of positive, but it's just this like, it spirals like hard.
Oh, man. Yeah. All right. Well,
and yes, everything does need to be ruined.
I feel like that at the moment. Everything I watch, I'm like, oh, but also this terrible thing about it. Anyway, I've got another recommendation. At the moment, we get up in the morning and make pancakes. Well, you don't. You sleep. You're asleep.
I don't get
But
up
I make
ever.
Them with my four-year-old. And I'm using the fat pancake recipe from Midnight Chicken, which is
Ella Ridgebridge's
book. Yeah, I love it so much. It's such a beautiful recipe and cookbook. But anyway, they're really, really basic. And they're not your banana ones. They're just crepes, but they don't have any sugar in them. So they're not that bad. They've just got milk, eggs, and flour, and then a bit of salt.
Oh, my goodness.
And they're those really thin pancakes, you know, like crepes.
Like crepes.
And they're really fun to make with kids. They're really fun because you can roll them out to be really big and then roll them up once they're done.
He likes them more when I make the pancakes. It's like, make the other pancakes. And I'm like, I don't know how to make those. And he's like, ah.
Yeah, because they're super fun and they're delicious. Anyway, and no sugar in them. So, I mean, you can put the sugar and stuff on top of them. But our little person just likes to have them plain. Anyway, that's been the highlight of my days at the moment is making pancakes with him and listening to a record like Folklore by Taylor Swift. That's getting me through.
Well, what my is getting you my through, highlight James? Of the day is hanging out with you, Claire.
Aww.
Just kidding.
God, I should have said the highlight was hanging out with you.
What were you saying, sorry?
I was just going to say, what is your highlight? Like, what's getting you through at the moment?
What's getting me?
Because we're back in lockdown in Melbourne.
Contemplating
your death.
Kind of like,
coming up with theories about energy transfer.
Yeah. And another thing about death is I heard somebody say, like, well, it's like when you were, she's smiling at you. It's like when someone, like, where were you before you were born? You were nowhere. So it's like, that gives me solace because, you know, there was no consciousness. So maybe that's how it is when you die. And I'm like, well, that's also terrifying, an infinite nothing. What are you talking about? But I think about when I had my surgery, when I went under, it was like black, darkness, nothing. Like, it wasn't like, you know, when you're actually asleep, you know, you can be woken. Your brain is like doing things. It was just like nothing. Like, there was nothing. Like, if I'd have died, I would have never have known. So that was.
Oh, yeah, because you never had any surgery before, have
not like
you?
That,
I've had like 1,000 different surgeries. Yeah. I'm bloody put together with sticky tape, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, so does that give you comfort?
No, not at all. That's what I'm saying. It's like an infinite blackness, but I guess there's comfort in the fact that you wouldn't even know. Anyways, this is the show. If you want to recommend the show, we'd appreciate it. You can also review in app.
Hang on. So are you terrified that you'll die and then you'll have to go to like an infinite plane of positivity where I'll be sitting next to you being like, be at one with everything, James, and you're just like, this is fucking bullshit.
You should get your own heaven is what I'm saying. Your own cool stuff.
I would love if there is heaven and you and I are sitting there and I'm all like blissing out on my yoga vibes and my go with the flow and like at one with the universe and you're just like smuttering under your breath.
Like a place.
Having to like play, I don't know, on a Ouija. What are those things that we were talking
Ouija
about?
Board?
Ouija board? You know, at a seance thing and just like sit around listening to people play harps.
That wouldn't be heaven. That would be mean. If I got there and it was that, I'd be like, this is a trick. This is something else. This is clearly... like the good place. It's like, this isn't the good place. Anyway, you can review an app. Did you know that, Claire? Just like
not.
Jonathan Berko has done. It says, The Adventures of Greg and the Italian Greyhound. Join the hosts of the podcast for a fun discussion between two mates that happen to be married to each other. Each episode is full of fun banter and great suggestions, things to watch, read, listen. Great stuff. Thank you very much. You can do that in app and we really appreciate that.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right. And if you would like to email the show with your recommendations or suggestions, we would
super
love that.
Or what you think happens
when
you die.
Yeah, that would be cool. We'll read your theories out online and terrify James even more.
It's not a terror. It's just more it's the not knowingness of it. It's not like.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't like cripple me day to day. I'm not like, oh, what am I going to do when I die?
Staring into your kombucha.
Yeah, just don't think about it. Just move along, mate. It's fine.
See, I don't know. I think acceptance, James. You got to fall in love with the mystery of things.
Nah.
All we've got, you know.
That's all we've got.
Is falling in love with the mystery. That's what it is.
Well, that sucks.
And then noticing stuff. They're the two things that get me through.
I notice shit.
Falling in love
with
the mystery.
I'm like, look at that, it's a bird. Look at that, it's a rock. Yeah, I notice things. Look at the way that light hits the whatever. Yeah.
I see you looking at our daughter. I see you. I see.
Yeah, because she's
noticing.
New, but you get bored of them eventually.
Anyway, that's what's getting me through. I have a suggestion that's been sent to suggestiblepod@gmail.com from Siraj. Hi, gentle people. I really like that inclusive term. To start off, I just listened to the Square Breathing episode and have some OH&S complaints to lodge.
Uh-oh.
Number one, I was actually listening at midnight when you recommended that I don't stay up late. I failed that one. Oh,
that's
sorry,
your
mate.
Fault.
That, Number two, I tried following your Square Breathing only to almost choke thanks to James's efforts in the background. Yeah, I was trying to be zen and you really got us all off track.
I don't even remember.
I only started listening recently, so I'm still a few months behind, but loving it as a bright spot to my week. Back on topic, I'd like to suggest a movie on Netflix called Crip Camp.
Crip Camp?
C-R-I-P. I'm not sure if it's on AU Netflix, but I can watch it here in Macau. So we must be able to get it. It's a documentary about a summer camp that was run for disabled kids in the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I see. Yeah.
It focuses on a group of attendees in the 70s, and that's how it contributed, led to the gaining of rights for disabled people in the US.
Wow, that's incredible. Yeah, there it is.
It's quite cheering, uplifting, so maybe don't let James watch it without supervision.
I won't do it. Yeah, groundbreaking summer camp galvanizes a group of teens with disabilities to help build a movement. That's awesome.
Yeah. It'll probably pop up soon on your feeds anyway, as the 30th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act is coming up. Awesome. Hope you're all keeping healthy and safe, Siraj.
That's awesome, man. That's really cool.
I know. That seems really awesome. I really want to watch that. And we all need a bit of cheering up at the moment.
Boy, do we, Claire.
Do we ever. All right. We've been Suggestible Pods.
Yeah.
Have a great week. Don't die. Well, don't die. Even if you do, it's going to be okay.
You don't know that though.
It's going to be okay. I've just been watching that Andrew Scott video on Instagram where he goes, everything was going to be all right. I'm sitting in a pool of sunlight. Everything is going to be all right. I love it. That's making me feel better.
Is that on his Instagram, is it? I might have checked that out.
It's so good. It makes me feel so much better about everything. That and also watching him, as I've talked about before, with the two stars of Normal People in the confessional.
Great. All right. Bye, 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 bye. Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.